Probably about 10 or 11 years ago, I started a practice. As Scripture says, that we should pray in the name of Jesus. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying in His name for His purpose. But also the Scripture says to pray for His will to be done. And so I learned through Scripture and just through practice at times, and so I began to teach the church I was pastoring at the time, just to have a two-word prayer. And so whatever situation, a person that they were praying about, they would name that person and then Jesus, or that situation and Jesus. And we did that for several weeks, and this one lady became our friend Julie. She came up to me and said, "You know, we've been praying for Lily, my granddaughter. You know, she was born 20 weeks early, and she weighed 13 ounces. And I've been praying, Jesus, Lily, Lily, Jesus, over her. And she's getting better." They had said she had a very slight chance, a slim chance of making it. And Lily's almost 11 now and perfect in every way. Now, God doesn't answer every prayer and answer everyone the way we want it every time. But when we pray for His will to be done, and we pray in His name, His purpose will be accomplished. And so I'm not sure if it's a name of a family member. I'm sure you have plenty. Or if you have a situation. Or if you have a problem, if you have, and so just whatever that is, finances, Jesus. Jesus, relationship. Jesus, name. Jesus, my future. Jesus, election. Jesus, America. Jesus, Israel. Whatever it is, would you just spend few seconds, whatever that is in your life, would you just say it in Jesus, or Jesus and that? And just, you might have several things to pray. Two-word prayers. Just, if you would, bow your head and pray to the Lord. Give Him those situations. Jesus, church. Jesus, Wiley. Jesus, America. Jesus, election. Jesus, relationships. Jesus, co-workers. Jesus, husband. Jesus, wife. Jesus, we speak Your name, and we're thankful, Lord, that one day every knee will confess, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And so, Jesus, we bow before You, praising You, thanking You, honoring You. Thank You, Lord, for being so powerful, so amazing. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We've been in 1 John several months, a few weeks now in 1 John 4, and we continue looking at reassurance in our faith. John, 30 years or so after he wrote his first book, 30 years removed, second and third generation believers, John is wanting them to have a reassurance in their faith. John is wanting them to have confidence, and it's in that reassurance, it's in that confidence that we know that we're a believer. We've been talking quite a while now about God's love, agape love. And we've been talking about that. And remember, if you will, that John, in his gospel writing, always referred to himself as the beloved disciple. And we look at that word or think that word beloved and think it's kind of awkward. We wouldn't say that today. But he was just saying, so loved. I've been given so much. Christ has done so much for me. He's given me so much grace, so much mercy. And as a result of that, John feels so loved. He really got it. He really grasped it, this love of God. And he's wanting, now he's speaking about it in chapter 3, chapter 4, over and over. But every week we look at a little bit different application, a little different application to our lives, and a little different focus. And so today, we want to look at the opportunity of, through his love, to see him. Through his love, to help others see him. So I want to ask you the question, how do you see certain people? You probably, when you see certain people, you hear their voice, you see some mannerism or some nuance about them, and so you can recognize them pretty quickly. Our grandson, our youngest grandson, is 18 months old. On the 11th, he turned 18 months old. And now he's recognizes us quite easily now, of course, at 18 months, but he's starting to speak our name. And so he'll see us, and of course, we get to see them FaceTime because they live in Baltimore, Maryland, and in November during Thanksgiving, we'll get to go see them, but we get to Pat gets to talk to them every day. I'm normally at work by that time, but I get to talk to them some. And so we love him, and we express things to him, and he loves us, and so he gets excited even on FaceTime, even over the video, and he will say our names. Now, he says Jeezy really well, and she's excited about that. I just want you to know that. Dadu, that's my grandfather's name. If you want to know the explanation, don't talk about it right now. But my name's Dadu. Well, he doesn't say Dadu real well, but he says Gigi real well. And we can tell that he's giving expression back, that he's loving us and he's excited to see us. He'll squeal sometimes and then so excited because he recognizes us and he recognizes our love and he expresses that even at 18 months old. And of course, you're thinking, well, of course, you think he's the smartest. And you know, no, I'm not thinking that. I know that. No, I'm just kidding. And we all think that about our own children. But it's exciting that he is able to recognize that. How do you recognize certain people? By their mannerisms, by their voice, by their expressions. I want to ask you the most important question. How do you recognize God? How do you see God? What is it that enables you to see him? Of course, creation speaks to God. I hope that you take opportunity to let creation speak to you. We have had all week, and some of you saw me, a great horned owl on our roof, and it flies to a post not too far from us, and we live kind of out in the country. So that owl is hunting. And it's just an amazing thing to see. So through creation, we can see God's amazement. So God does speak through us through creation. God speaks often through his word. Most of the time to a believer, he speaks through his word. He also speaks through his spirit. Are you learning to hear his spirit? Are you learning to discern his inner voice, that still small voice? God speaks to us through worship. God speaks to us through his people. God speaks to us through a lot of different ways, and he speaks to us through agape love. When we love with God's miraculous, godly, supernatural, perfect love, his love, when we love that way, the invisible God becomes visible. When we learn what agape love is, and we learn to receive it from God, and we begin to express it toward brothers and sisters, but also toward other people and giving them grace. You know, when you think about the woman caught in adultery, a woman that placed this alabaster jar of perfume on Jesus, when you think about the woman at the well, when you think about Jesus, Zacchaeus, when Jesus loved them, it changed them almost immediately. Because they had been hated, because they were thought of as unclean, every one of them. But Jesus loved them in such a way, and they were changed. From the time Zacchaeus left the top of that tree, or wherever, what position he was on the tree, by the time he came down to Jesus, he began to confess, if I have cheated anyone, I will pay them back four times. If I have taken anything from them, I will pay them back double. Well, that mathematics and that finance doesn't work except in God's economy. Because he was changed immediately. 1 John tells us about how we can see and how God can be seen with his agape love. So if you would, please stand and honor the Lord, the reading of his word. 1 John 4, 12 through 16. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been talking now for several weeks from chapters 3 and 4 about God's agape love, this supernatural, sacrificial, unconditional love. It is unconditional. It's from God. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. God expects nothing in return, although this kind of love does draw people because it's an unbelievable love that we can't express or experience any other way. It's sacrificial. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. It's not emotion. It's an action. It's something that God demonstrates. It's demonstrative. It's a choice. God wants people to know his love. That's why he sent his Son. That's why he expressed and manifested himself through the Old Testament and now completely through the New Testament and now through his Holy Spirit and through his people. Because he wants people to see this amazing love. God wants people to see his love. How does this happen? God wants us to have our lives and actions derived from his love, living in and out of his miraculous love. But most people don't get it, and most people don't choose to show that, God's miraculous love, because it's hard. It takes surrender to him. It takes yielding yourself to him. It takes denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him. And most people don't get it or choose it. Much like this wife that talked about her marriage with her husband. And she said, my husband and I have a very happy marriage. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him, and there's nothing he would do for me. So we've gone through our life doing nothing for each other. And that's what happens sometimes. We say, well, I told them 25 years ago that I love them, and that's enough, right? Sometimes we assume people love us, and that's not agape love. It shows. It's full of action. Also, some people think there are marriages about three rings. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffer ring. And that shouldn't be the case. Your marriage, if you know Jesus, your marriage shouldn't suffer. Now, certainly, there's issues that we all have. But God can transform your relationships, your life, your marriage, through his amazing agape love. I shared it a moment ago. I'm going to share it again. It'll be on your screen. When we love each other with this agape love, God's invisible love becomes visible. That's what John wanted. That's what John had experienced. That's what Jesus gave. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in each of us. So let's talk about three things this morning. First of all, abiding love, visible love, then abiding love, then trusting love. So let's look at visible love. Look at verse 12 and 13. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So no one's ever seen God, but in a sense it's saying if we love with his love, he is seen, he's expressed, he's sensed. This is how we know that we live him, and he has given us his spirit. It says no one's ever seen God, looked at, experienced him visibly, but he can be seen and experienced spiritually and through his spirit and through the spirit of others. Also it says God lives in us. It means he remains, he stays, he abides, he dwells with us. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why Jesus was crucified. That's why Jesus was resurrected, so his resurrection life could live in you. And the same love that Jesus took to the cross, the same supernatural love he has placed in you. And he wants you to trust him to live out that in its fullness. In a moment, it'll talk about having that love completely. And that's what he wants for us to have. When agape love abides or lives in believers, their loving actions and attitudes make the invisible God visible to the world. When we abide in him and our loving actions from the Holy Spirit, then the invisible God is made visible to the world. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, you see that? It's very clear. It's very poignant. We can experience God through his love. Loving one another as Jesus loved us, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. He gave us his son through the resurrection. He gives us his spirit. We're to love one another as Jesus loved us. How did Jesus love? For God so loved the world, he gave. So loving with Jesus' love is we give. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son. Jesus gave his life. The Holy Spirit gives us his spirit, his presence. He gives. Also, what did Jesus do? He not only gave, he sacrificed. He gave his life. So supernatural, this love from God is sacrificial. So if you're thinking about how does this love become visible towards someone else from you, it's you give. You sacrifice. You forgive. You give mercy. You give grace. You serve. You encourage. You have compassion. You care. You share. And you share scriptural truths. You show truth and speak to them. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we're to do. And it says there also, he has given us his spirit. This is how we know, verse 13, and live in him. He has given us his spirit. How is it that his spirit shows love? When we are full of the spirit, the scripture tells us that we're to be full of the spirit. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Not to get drunk with wine, but be filled with the spirit. In other words, be under the influence of something else. Like someone's drunk, you be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What does it say that happens then? That we in our lives have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Are those things you often have in you? So it's this visual love. I'm not talking about you do things to earn people's love, but you are doing this because you want to express the love that Jesus has given you. This is John, not 1 John I want to read. It'll be on your screen. John 1, 17 and 18. Listen to what it says. This is the Gospel of John. John shared it decades before. In the Gospel of John 4, this is John 1, 17. For the law has given us through Moses grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What is grace? It's God's love. Then go in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. There it is again, as we see here in 1 John 4. No one's ever seen God, but through Jesus, he was seen and made manifest. Love for one another is an absolute necessity. For the world to see who God really is, Christians reflect to the world a view of God based on their characterization of him. So what view are people seeing of Christ through you? Sometimes there's a lot of people that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus because they see how Christians are. Jesus wants his agape love to be seen. It says when they see agape love, God's love, Christ's love, the Holy Spirit's manifestation of love, then they will see us and him. But what view are they seeing? Tragically, many times the world doesn't see a great view of Christians. They don't see a great view of God's love. But if we'll trust him, abide with him, ask him for a filling of his Spirit, he will show himself through us. What does the world see about God's love through us, through you, through me? What do they see about God's love at work? What do they see about God's love at home? What do they see about God's love with friends in your neighborhood? God's love is a visible love. Secondly, it's an abiding love. Look at verse 14 and 15. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That abiding love is what God has given us. Look what it says. If anyone acknowledges... And the word acknowledge means give allegiance to. It doesn't just mean speak about. If you give allegiance to that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. So how is it that this visible love is seen? It's through our abiding in him. It's through our remaining. The word abiding means to remain. It means to live in. And it says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Verse 14 says, and we testify. We have seen and testify. We bear witness. We give testimony. And that's what we're to do as believers, is to share this abiding love. So it's visible, but it's only visible when we abide. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man abides, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What's the first of those fruits? Love. So when we abide and walk in him, he is seen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, verse 13, 14, and 15 are seen. There's not a lot of passages that have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, but it's his abiding presence. And why is that? It's because we see the abiding of the Trinity, the Godhead, the of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abiding in each other, but abiding in us. And it's this supernatural thing between the Godhead. One God, three persons. This supernatural will naturally, the love he gives us and the love we abide in is supernatural. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Have you had a time where you felt the presence of God in you? I hope you have. I'm not asking you to necessarily shake your head one way or the other, but I pray that you have. I pray that you've seen God's love in someone else. I bet you have. And I pray that we'll be people that abide in him so that we are in him and he is in us, so that his love, his grace can be seen. And that abiding love is compassion. It's grace and mercy. It's God's Spirit. It's God's presence. God lives in them and they in God. When this love is shown, what happens? What's really happening? The heart of God and the character of God is seen. That's why God wants us to be his witness. That's why it says when Jesus in John 13 with the disciples the night before he was crucified, he said, a new love I've given to you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. God wants us to show this love so that his character, His heart is seen through us. That's how God can be seen, through us, when we abide in Him. What fruits of the Spirit are being revealed in you? What sacrifices of Jesus are being revealed in you? God wants to show those. That's why Jesus said, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself. It takes surrender and denying yourself. Take up your cross. Whatever you have to deal with, give it to the Lord and follow me. And as we do that, that abiding presence, he shows up in the midst of our lives with his love. What did Jesus do on the night before he was crucified? It says he loved his disciples completely to the very uttermost. What did he do? He spoke to them about how much he loved them. He spoke to them about what would be happening after his resurrection. They still didn't understand, but what else did he do? He served them. He washed their feet. And as I've said before, whose feet did he wash? Every one of them. Peter, who would later deny him, and Judas, who would betray him. That's amazing love, isn't it? And that's the love he can show through us. Wash their feet, sacrifice to them. And John's not telling us how many people to love. He's telling us how much to love the people we know. So the relationships we have start right there. Love them with this kind of love, and God will begin to show up in their life and more in your life. If God sees that we're willing to love with his love, he will send those people to us and give us opportunity. Romans 5:5 says this, and God does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit he has given to us. It's there. If we'll surrender and abide in him. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. As I mentioned before, this quote I have for you on the screen, all three persons of the Godhead reveal and express his agape love through his manifest presence, sacrificial witness, and inner dwelling through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He can give his amazing agape love through that. One child was asking his mom and dad, they were learning about Jesus, and they asked their mom and dad, Jesus is so powerful and so mighty, and since he lives in us, wouldn't he stick out of us? Yes, he would. And yes, he should. His abiding love. It's a visible love. It's an abiding love. It's a trusting love. Lastly, look at verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Like verse 8, verse 16 says the same thing in the midst of it. God is love. God doesn't have love. He is love. What a difference. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. The word lives again. It's remain, stay, reside, dwell. This trusting love. And so we know and rely. What do you know about God's love? Focus on that every day. It says, and so we know and rely. Focus on God's love every day. What does it mean to know the love of God? How do you know what he's done? Think about what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us, how faithful God's been to us, and all that he's given for us and all that he sacrificed. Think about that, the love that we know. Now also think about the love we rely upon. Are you trusting that? What does God's word say? And we know and rely on the love God has for us. How do we rely on that love? You meditate on God's grace? I pray that you have a time with the Lord every day personally. And that's one of the reasons we do that, is so that we can have personal worship. And we thank him for his grace. We thank him for his mercy. We thank him for his forgiveness. We thank him for his sacrifice. We thank him for his son. We thank him for his spirit. We thank him for his word. Thank you for his people. And on and on and on. And as we thank him for all that he's done for us, we begin to be more and more endeared from Him and through Him because of all He's done for us, thinking about His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. I pray that every day you do that. How many of you have learned to worship Him daily? I'm not talking about music. Many of you do that with music. Many of you listen to worship in your car. You listen to worship. Maybe some of you are able to do that at work. Maybe in your home when you're there. Maybe even Alexa's a Christian now in your home. I'm not sure. I hope you worship every day. I hope that you think about how much He loves you and how much you love Him back. Scripture says, Jesus said it this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's daily. And I hope you're learning to do that. And as we do that, we will understand and trust Him even more because we'll meditate on what He's done for us. As we sang and spoke earlier, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And even more specific to this text today, Psalm 36 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, His love endures forever. 26 verses. What do you think the children of Israel, the leaders were wanting them to do to understand His love and trust it every day in all that they did and said? How are you trusting Christ to love through you? Who are you praying for? How are you praying for your love to be toward them? Are you relying upon Christ's love to love people His way? Jesus loved those who were crucifying Him on the cross. Remember, those that had cursed Him and those that had crucified Him, He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And on the cross, Jesus loved His mother and loved His one disciple that we're talking about today on the cross. And He said, son, and that wasn't His son. His son, your mother, woman, your son. He was wanting them to love with His love, even to one another, as He is wanting us. We've already seen from a few weeks ago, 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And then verse 12 is a hinge off of that. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Let me close with this quote. Jesus is the complete expression of God in human form, revealing God and His love to us and through us. Do you remember Jesus as He was preparing His disciples in Matthew 25? Do you remember what He told them? Jesus said this, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes or to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, you did for me. May we love His way by abiding in Him, trusting Him with His visible love. Would you pray with me? Let's bow together. Lord, open our hearts to love like You. Lord, may our love be visual like Yours was. Lord, may it be an abiding love from You. And may it be trusting You to do what only You can do in us. Lord, help us to love every day, every person that we meet, with that kind of love. Lord, may our church, may the body of Christ all across our area, and everyone we meet that's a part of the body of Christ, Lord, may we love that way. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You have to know Jesus to have a love like that. Do you know Him? If you haven't trusted Jesus responded to who he is and what he's done for you on the cross, I pray that you'll do that this morning. And just right where you are in your heart, say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you as my Lord and Savior. And he'll come in just like that. Now, if you've done that, I hope that you'll come and let us know that so that we can walk with you and disciple you. Or if you don't exactly know how to do that, some of our staff will be down here. So if you've not accepted Jesus, please consider who he is and what he's done and trust him. What do the rest of us do? We're to love with this agape love. We're to love with this visual, abiding, trusting love. What do you need to do today? Is God prompting you to do something, to respond to that so that you will love with more of his love? Or maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe you need to follow the Lord and make it public and be baptized. Maybe you need to join fellowship with the church. Maybe there's an area of your life you need to just give to the Lord. Use this as an altar. Whatever God speaks to you today, you respond and do that, and you will be blessed. Let's stand together and let's respond and sing.